The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where every week of every year, year in and year out, for years and years, we've been here getting you the information and inspiration you needed to start or grow your own real estate investing business. Today's question and answer day. It's the second week of the month, which is when we normally would have question and answer day, but there is a special twist to today, and that is we are having a one-day, really one-hour special for folks who pledge to WMKV through the website to get a ticket, or maybe two tickets, if that's what you want, to the 2025 National Real Estate Investing Summit. Every year, OREA donates a couple of dozen, maybe three dozen tickets to WMKV for their fund drive, which doesn't actually happen until September. December, let's not put it off quite that far. That would be after the National Summit. We decided that this year we would do an early release for people who wanted to go to wmkvfm.org and then just scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. You'll see a thing that says 2025 Summit Expo and Pass. Here's the deal. If you pledge today for your ticket or tickets, we only need a pledge of $197 for one person, $277 if you plan to bring a partner to the summit. There probably will still be some packages available at Fundrive, but they're going to be quite a bit more money than that. And that's actually, the $197 is less money than we're even looking for on the summit website right now. It's $50 cheaper than it is on the summit website right now. And if you pledge today online at wmkvfm.org, scroll to the bottom of the page, click on Summit Expo and Pass. In addition to getting $50 off your ticket, you will also get a free course called How to Do Subject to Legally, Ethically, and Profitably. It's an online course that'll be just delivered to you in the next couple of days via a link. Includes all the forms and contracts that you need to do subject twos, as well as all the information from what are they to how do you talk to sellers about them to what sellers should you never do them with, to dealing with the due on sale clause, all that sort of stuff. WMKVFM.org. Scroll down to the bottom, click the Summit Expo and Pass. It might even say that it's $247 when you click through, but when you actually pledge, it'll only ask you for $197 for that ticket. So that's our big special for today. It's only going to last as long as I'm on the air today, and hopefully, I don't know, three or four of you will pick up a really amazing bargain on the best real estate conference in the country coming up in Cincinnati on October 30th through November 2nd, 2025. Our number here in the studio for question and answer week is 877-772-9658. You can also send questions in by going to vinaradio@gmail.com. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones and talk to Jonathan in Florida on line one. Jonathan, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hey, Vina, how are you?
I'm good, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. I had been talking to our friend Sam, who was giving me some advice about how to appropriately purchase a property in such a way in which we do the repairs prior to taking over title. And he had a great way of doing it, which was to put the contract itself in escrow until the work is finished, and then essentially fulfill the contract. And what I didn't understand is it seemed like it would be a good candidate for the use of a trust. Now, I know that our group is, we talk about trust and kind of lost our big trust guy recently. And I just wanted to know your thoughts on, why wouldn't that be a good use of a trust where you switch out the beneficiaries and the beneficial interests? Like, that's really what I wanted to know, is your thoughts on that.
Okay, well, I think we need to explore a little bit more about why we're doing this in the first place. It sounds like the property is owned by person A, and it's going to be purchased by person B. But person B wants to complete some repairs on it before they close.
Let's add a piece in there. Person A is the seller. Mm-hmm. Person B is the investor. And person C is the person the investor is going to sell it to.
Okay, so it's going to be wholesaled. So who is putting up the money for the repairs?
Right, so that would be private money that we borrow from friends.
Who's we?
To do the work.
Are we talking about person B?
Person B, who's the investor, will borrow that money from any of his investor friends, uh-huh. an IRA or a hard money lender or something, to do a small amount of work. Uh-huh. And then it will be resold once finished.
Okay. And how is person B going to secure this loan that they are getting in order to make these repairs prior to the sale of the property?
So because it's going to be a small amount, and because there'll be either a double close or a very close to double close at the end to the end buyer, all that is needed would be a hard money loan for the repairs, which the investor would apply for. And, or that also could be a personal loan, a private loan from investor friends. Could be an IRA or not.
But how is that loan being secured other than by the promise to repay?
Oh, the property, by the property itself.
So the seller, person A, has to be the one actually borrowing the money.
Pretty much.
Okay.
They have to agree to that.
So seller A is going to allow a mortgage to be put against a property.
That's right.
So that some money can be obtained to do some repairs so that ultimately person B can sell this for a higher price than person A. So the property is under...
And person A wants a higher price. That's the idea. Person A wants a higher price, and therefore they're going to have to do these things.
Wants a higher price from... Well, they don't care who it's from, but person B is going to be the one who buys it at that higher price and sells it at, I assume, a yet higher price to person C. Okay. First thing, absolutely, it needs to be the seller who is signing both the mortgage and the note, because if anything goes sideways here, you, person B, do not want to be obligated to pay back a loan against a property. Let's say your seller goes rogue and the work gets done and he sells it to his brother. And you're just standing there going, wait, I had a contract. I guess we're going to court now. The seller needs to be the one who's obligated to repay the private lender, not you. You don't want to be standing there going, well, I don't have a house.
Exactly.
I can't do anything here. I don't have a house. The idea was to put the contract in escrow. Was that what you heard the first time?
Yes, that was the technique. And this is exactly what you just said explains why I thought it would be better done using a trust, because it would really just be swapping people in and out of a trust document.
A trust is a possibility if the seller is willing to basically give up control of the property in order to let this be done. I mean, when I say give up control, I mean the trustee in this trust would have the right to do the things that you want done as opposed to the things that the seller might at some future point want done. So the trustee would have to have the right to obligate the property to the note, would have to have the right to sell the property to whomever they wanted at the agreed upon contract price, etc. I'm curious about why nobody has suggested an option for this.
Right, that was suggested an option, but an option may not be any different than what we're already doing. I mean, is this really an option the way it's been originally explained, where we put the stuff in and where we put the contract in escrow? I mean, it's, in some ways, it is an option. I'm trying to differentiate that from a trust and swapping people in and out of beneficiaries and directing people to do things
that
where
would,
there's already.
Yeah, that would be, need to be a very carefully constructed trust. Because, for instance, if I'm, you know, again, let's talk worst case scenario. You spend all this time and effort getting this work done. You do that because you're a capitalist and you see the possibility of profit at the end of this. The seller decides at the end, well, no, I've got a much better property. I'm not selling to him for that price. I'm going to sell it to somebody else for some other price and go ahead and sue me. The thing that's going to keep him from doing that in a trust sort of situation is a land trust that A, does not allow him to remove it from the trust, B, doesn't allow him to fire the trustee, and C, gives the trustee certain powers up front. You know, almost like a power of attorney would, right? Like, you can't revoke this, and also you've already told the trustee to sign a mortgage on this property, and you've already told them to sell per the purchase contract that already exists, and it would have to be like unbreakable. Like the seller could not do anything to remove the property from the trust or otherwise defeat the trust. So if I was going to do a trust, I would definitely have an experienced trust attorney writing that up. I think that an option would effectively keep them from stepping around you, which is what you're afraid of, simply by clouding their title in such a way that any buyer who wasn't you just couldn't buy it without, at least not without paying you the money that you thought you were going to get in this deal in the first place. It feels like the option might be the simpler solution, but the trust solution would probably work with the right.
So with the option solution, I mean, we could put something in the option that had penalties if that would accrue if it wasn't immediately sold. So we can do something like that, and that would help.
You don't have to say
that. I'm sorry?
You don't have to have penalties. It just has to be an option that doesn't expire in the next 6 months.
Right. I mean, it would have to have some special wording to last and to last perhaps years. Because God knows how long it could be that they could hold on to it.
Perhaps 20 years.
Right.
Because if you're going to be in court over this, you don't want the option to expire while that's happening. So, yeah, I would.
Either way, trust or option, they both have to have some special wording and some special sauce in there to keep things safe. I was just trying to compare, you know, it would seem to me that Though it's a revocable trust, swapping people in and out and defining their beneficial interest and what they're able to do in a contract form would seem to me like a pretty solid way to go. And I was curious your thoughts about that.
Yeah, my thoughts are, I assume this isn't a seller that is like captured by you in some way. This isn't somebody who, like, you know, really well, and they're a financial friend, and they're probably not going to step around you no matter. Okay. My thoughts are, think of all the different ways that somebody could, defeat what you're trying to do here after you have already put in the time and money. Okay. and then go to an attorney and say, write me a contract, whether that's a trust or whether that's a an option, that even if they do this, I'm still going to come out okay. That keeps them from doing it, but even if they do it, I'm going to prevail in court.
Right. Right. Really, it's kind of two of the same things in different ways. They're both contracts, you know, and both an option and a
I guess my gut feel is that the trust is going to have to be so complicated that if it has to be litigated, the chances of a court saying, yeah, no, this is not what this said, are going to be higher than if it's just a simple option that says, yeah, I have the right to buy this anytime in the next 10 years for this much money. And all I have to do is give you 2 weeks notice. And then that's recorded. And then probably you have a mortgage to secure that option as well. I think that's going to be a lot easier to litigate if it comes to litigation, but I'm not an attorney, so you should go ask an attorney.
Appreciate it. Great answer. Thank you so much.
Jonathan, are you coming to the National Real Estate Summit in October?
Most likely, as long as it doesn't collide with the DealMaker event. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Okay. You know, if you go to WVXU... So,
dare you.
I know. My brain is not working today, Jonathan. I just named a station that we haven't been on in 15 years. WMKV.
You're doing awesome, though.
WMKVFM.org. And scroll to the bottom of the page. You can get a ticket for $197 that comes with a subject to class. Right?
Perfect.
That's like $50 less than you could get it on the OREA site today.
I rarely miss your classes anyway, so I'll probably go. It should be a rare occasion that I wouldn't go.
Okay. Well, I suggest get a ticket today because you can do it as a pledge to public radio. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. This is Question and Answer Week. You can give us a call at 877-772-9658. Send an email to vinoradio@gmail.com. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sharon in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox, and it's Question and Answer Week. We're also having a 1 hour, it's not really even one day,
opportunity.
That's the word. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Opportunity for listeners to make a pledge to public radio and get a ticket or maybe two tickets to the National Real Estate Summit coming up here in Cincinnati in October 30th through November the 2nd. It's a really special deal. It's $197 to get one ticket, $277 to get two tickets. That's, $50 and $80 less than what they are right now on OREA's website. And in addition to that, you get a Subject 2 course that gives you everything you need to know to do Subject 2s, like legally and ethically and profitably. I've got an email that says, what is this National Real Estate Summit? Sorry, I just thought everybody in the world knew about that, who was in real estate. It's a 4-day event, and it's kind of like it's whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be a 4-day long party with your real estate friends, that's what it is. There's people who all they do is they just come to network and stand in the halls and talk and sometimes drink and make deals together and, you know, just hang out. It can also be 4 days of really intensive education if that's what you want it to be. There are classes starting on Thursday morning at 8:30 and ending on Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, right? And there's like classes almost all that whole time. Let's take a look at some of the confirmed speakers. We got Lee Phillips Esquire. They're doing a half a day on estate planning. Donna Bauer is going to be there talking about why, notes are your big entry point into real estate. Ari Newman's doing a half day class on how to use a financial calculator to figure out things like interest rates and how many payments I'm going to need to make if I agree to make this much payment. Eddie Speed's going to be there talking about how to exit from your rentals by turning them into notes and make a whole bunch more money that way. Elizabeth Enright Phillips is teaching an all-day class on Thursday about how to analyze, finance, buy, fix, and scale rental properties. So if you are into the rental business and you're fairly new, you're going to want to go to that all-day class. What else we got? Tom Berry's going to talk about why commercial property may be your next big step. Scott Ellsworth is going to give a talk about how to save $25,000 on your taxes this year. Bill Knoll's going to give a half day on how to set up your whole LLC structure correctly without, you know, spending $15,000 with some of these fly-by-night type companies that come around and try and sell you those things. Melissa Yatsing's going to talk about how she bought a whole bunch of over a dozen Airbnbs without actually buying them. She master leased them. It's amazing. It's like anything you want to know more about, there's going to be a session about. How do you make that pledge? You go to WMKVFM.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll see, you know, the 2025 National Real Estate Summit. If you click it today before we go off the air, it'll only cost you $197 to get that ticket, which is a deal in itself. In addition to that, you're going to get a 6-hour online course about how to do subject twos right. So let's go to Sharon, who is on line two from Columbus. Sharon, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hi, Dina. How are you doing?
I'm good, Sharon. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just thought I'd mention, I've been to a summit a while ago, but I just thought it was very good for me. I'm kind of like a light thing into real estate, have an interest, but I did take one of your classes, and then when I bought my condo, I got on 0% interest, so that was worth $1 million or so. to me. So
yeah, it's a calculable number. I doubt it was $1 million, but I bet it felt really good to get a place to live that had 0% interest.
Take one of your classes and then to apply the knowledge and then actually say, oh my gosh, this works. So that's what I thought, it was kind of cool. Yeah, good. So my question today is how is the best way, I have another person I'd like to approach and say, well, I could buy your house and blah, 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 and I want to present myself in a good way. And so they know I'm a real person and I'm not a scammer. Like you say on some of the subject twos, how to do it legally and all that, I'm very much to say, how can I help you? I want to see how I can help you solve your problems and do it in an ethical, legal way. So how would you suggest I would go approach a stranger where I see there's an opportunity and I could say I could buy this? Because I've learned about the equity. I could use my retirement money to buy a house. So that's where I think, oh, well, I can buy this and tell them I can close quickly, but I want them to know that I'm legitimate, not trying to take advantage of them.
It's interesting that you have a fear without ever having talked to them that they're going to think that you're a scammer.
Well, I just get these things in the mail and people knock at my door and I just say, no, go away. And if I know them, so this person, I've known him to wave at him and I said, hi, neighbor. Mm-hmm. But then I know he's in trouble with owing money. And so that's what I want to say. How can I help you?
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next question was what makes you think that this is a potential subject to deal? So is he behind on his mortgage?
Well, actually, his mother died and left him this condo. And so it's paid off, but he's behind on the condo fees. So I assume he's behind on taxes and stuff. And so he's ill. So I want to say, look, I can buy your house from you now, pay up your fees, and then give you a little bit of money. And I assume that if he's on medical, he'll have a Medicare payback type thing. Mm-hmm. But I would just like to say, look, I can make your life a little bit easier. And if I can give you whatever is allowed, a couple $100 a month or whatever type thing, then to me, I would just want to work out to say, how can I help you? And it's like a win-win situation.
So it's not a subject to, because there's no mortgage. It's more like a deal. The deal you already did. It's more like just let me make you payments every month. Okay. So how about not approaching him as, I think I can help you by buying your property? How about approaching him by saying, hey, I notice that, I assume it's like public record somehow that he's behind in his condo fees. They must have like published that, or you wouldn't know that. I saw that you're behind on the HOA on that condo. Is there anything I can do to help you?
I did learn about, since I retired, and in my church before, I got experience in like weatherization. So for myself, I had the weatherization program. I applied for, they checked out my furnace. They did the tune-up, but I was afraid that it was going to go out. But they came out and they said, oh, no, it's fine. And they did a bunch of stuff for free. They were here from like 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Didn't cost me a dollar. So I was thinking of taking one of those flyers with me and say, how are you doing? Does your furnace need a tune-up? Because I know about these programs that can help you get stuff that you need.
Okay, but that's not, I mean, you do need to be a little more direct with him than that. You need to let him know that you know that he hasn't paid the condo fee, okay?
Yeah, yeah,
and
okay.
And say, you know, is there anything I can do to help you with that? And if he says, no, it's all good, then I would have a second question ready, which would be like, well, what are you planning on doing with that place? Are you gonna sell it? Are you gonna keep it? Are you gonna rent it? Like, what's going on there?
I think is he's just gonna die and leave it go to whatever.
Well, that would not be a good solution if there is some way that he could benefit from it now while he was alive. So if he says that,
exactly.
Which I doubt,
yeah.
But if he says that. I mean, I think you can be pretty straightforward about, well, why would you not want to get a few hundred dollars a month in income off of it? Is the unit in his name, or is it still in his mother's name?
It's in his name.
Okay, so he is in fact the owner.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just need to start a conversation and be ready for the idea that the conversation might end up having three parts. You know, like it might not just be like we have this one conversation and we decide what to do, because if he says, well, you know, I'm expecting to get a settlement and then I'll make up the condo fee, what you might want to say is, well, you know, if you decide to sell it, I would love to buy it.
Okay.
And I can probably arrange to get you an income off of it, or, you know, whatever would work for you, but please let me know.
Yeah, what I think is he wants to live there, so I would offer him, is it called life estate? So I could say, I'll buy it, and I'll give you a life estate so you can live there for this long, and then figure that out.
Is he living there now?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, that might be a different conversation. It might be a life estate. It might be an option.
Okay.
You know, it's possibly he just needs the help one time, maybe. I just need to get caught up and then I'll be okay. So, yes, one of those things would be good. You know, although you know what the danger is with life estates, right?
But they live too long? Or?
No. Yeah, who's it? That Jane Austen? Fanny Edwards in Sense and Sensibility said, whenever there's a nudity do, people live forever.
it's that a
life estate actually means that they continue to own it and have use of it until they die. And sometimes people will spend the last few years of their life like in an assisted care facility or something like that. And that means the place just sits there vacant. Because life estate is triggered by their death. Something like an estate for years or an option might be the better solution for that. I often will do options with older people who want to stay in their houses, but they need some extra money to make that work.
Yeah.
And I say, look, we're gonna make this like a 20-year option, but the reality is I'm not going to exercise it until your kids call me and say mom died.
Okay, cool. Okay. I didn't know about that.
Or you call me and say, yeah, I'm moving out. You know, I'll exercise it at that point.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Because I don't want it to sit empty and just go to seed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel he has an asset. I just think he's, I don't know what, he's too sick or just not paying attention to what's going on. And I think that he's just going to let it go until the taxes and condo fees, it goes to foreclosure. And I'm thinking, you don't need to let it go to foreclosure. Let's figure out something so it doesn't go to foreclosure.
And what is he going to do if it does go to foreclosure? If he can't afford the HOA fee, he almost certainly cannot afford rent anywhere.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be a better...
If you want to get into a... Even if you want to get into a low-income housing type thing, there's a waiting list. So you would be on the street for a year or two until something opens up. So it's better to figure out something ahead of time.
Yeah, if you go to him with truly the attitude of let's see if there's some way that we can solve this problem, whether it involves me buying your house or not, I don't think he's going to see you as being a scammer.
God, yeah. So first I got to listen and just say, I have ideas on how to solve problems, what I think, but what do you think? So I need to sit there and listen and then take notes. And then I can go back to the real estate association and say, okay, here's what's going on. What's my possibilities, what I can work on?
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, that's why I love the real estate association because there's a lot of people when I think, oh, my gosh, this is horrible. What's going on? They're like, oh, I dealt with that too. So there's a lot of people that's been through what I think I could go through. So before I freak out, I can ask questions, and then they say, oh, yeah, you can do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I like having choices rather than think, oh, I got my head against the wall. No, you always have choices.
That's right. All right, Sharon, appreciate your call. We need to take a quick break. It's question and answer week, so if you have a question, you can call it in to 877-772-9658. Or send an email, vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. It's question and answer week and also our own special mini fun drive. just me and Mike are having a fun drive in here. That's right. And what we're offering is a ticket or two tickets to the National Real Estate Investing Summit on October 30th through November 2nd here in Cincinnati. It is the biggest gathering of independent real estate investors in the country. It is 4 days of ideas and inspiration and new financial friends, and it's amazing. And right now, if you went to the OREA website, you would find that it was $247 for one ticket and $347 for two. But if you make a pledge today at wmkvfm.org and scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see it. You can get a ticket for $197 and two tickets for $287. I think I misquoted myself earlier by saying $277. It's $287. And get a bonus course about how to do subject twos. And this is literally only being offered for about another 10 minutes today. April has taken advantage of this offer, as has Paul. In fact, he got himself two tickets, and Jim got himself two tickets as well. So I will see you guys, of course, at the end of October. And Paul also sent a question. Paul, of course, you don't have to pledge in order to get your questions answered, but we really do appreciate that. He says, my question is, what would you do with a deal like this? How would you sell it? Purchased it on a subject to deal for the mortgage balance. It's a 2020 home in excellent condition with a heated saltwater in-ground pool. It shows well. The loan was originated 1 of 24. The interest rate is 7.625. The original loan amount was 389. The current balance is 384. The payment is 3818 PITI with an after repaired value of 430. The market rent would be between 2800 and 3000. He says, my thoughts, sell it on a contract, so a land contract, for $449,900 with an 8.99% interest rate, a 30-year term, as much down payment as possible up to the equity amount. Well, Paul, that certainly does appear to be your only possible option. The reality is, I probably wouldn't do this deal at all because there's not enough. Like, to me, if I'm buying a house subject to, it either needs to have a lot of equity, or it needs to have a lot of cash flow, or it needs to pay down very quickly. This property as a standard rental would have negative cash flow of at least $1,200 or $1,500 a month. It's got some equity, but really not very much. I mean, buying a property for $384 that you could resell for $430, you know, most of that's going to get eaten up in holding costs and realtor costs and closing costs and all that sort of stuff. And the loan's only a year old, so I assume it's going to take 29 more years to actually pay off. Now, the issue with you selling it on a contract for deed is that the payment that you would have to charge would be significantly more, and I mean more by probably, well, just the principal and interest payment on a $449,000 loan is $3,600 a month. So add the taxes and insurance to that. If your 908 number is in New Jersey, like I think it might be, so what's going to be $1,200 a month in taxes alone? You're up in a monthly payment range that folks looking in that neighborhood may not be able to afford. If the rent is $3,000 and the payment's $5,000, it may be hard to find a buyer for that property at that payment. So if I were going to do this, I probably would, before I bought it subject to, would probably try to find a buyer for it who was qualified and willing to buy it. And yes, the maximum upfront payment that you can possibly take is the difference between the, really you're asking $450, let's call it $450, and $384, because you do not want the amount that is owed to you to be less than the amount that is owed to the bank. That is a very bad situation to get yourself into. I probably wouldn't do the deal, and B, if I did do it, I would have a buyer in hand before I agreed to close and make that first payment on the property. But thanks for the very interesting question. We're getting a lot of creative finance questions today. That's interesting. Let's go to line two and talk to Danny in Columbus. Danny, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
What can I do for you today?
So I was wondering what you think about this. So I have a inherited rental. It was my parents, and it currently is, let's see, it's probably valued at around $450 or so. It's in Dublin, which is a pretty decent area. The condo and the, I feel conflicted as to what to do because it's paid down where it's got a COVID era loan for like around 2.39%, and there's only about $45,000 left on the loan, and I'd like to be able to use that to scale up, but I'm conflicted as to whether to sell it to get all the equity or if it'd be better to cash out. So that's kind of where I'm conflicted. I've seen some conflicting advice from what I've seen online and stuff like that.
Well,
so,
unfortunately,
what would you do?
Unfortunately, Danny, I can make you a spreadsheet to show you the outcomes of each of those things. But the bottom line is, it's kind of about what's right for you right now, not like what is the correct tax and financial answer to your question.
Right, yeah.
So you said it's worth $450, but there's a loan on it that's only $35.
$45.
So it's 10%.
Yeah.
It's got 90% equity. Okay, so it's got a $45,000 loan at like 2.5% or some super low amount like that. And when did you inherit it?
The last year or two.
And did you get it appraised when you inherited it?
No, but I looked at listing it recently, and the realtor was saying it would probably go for that.
Okay.
I think at the time it was,
Step one is get it appraised because, and I say this because you inherited it at its stepped up basis. It doesn't matter that your parents only owed $45 on it. You inherited it at a value of $450. So the upside to selling it right now is that your taxes on the sale would be very, very low.
That's always nice.
Yeah, you don't get that opportunity too often to sell a property and like, I don't owe any taxes on it because I inherited it at $450 and sold it at $450. And really, the appraisal should be as of a year ago, as of the time that you inherited. But you want that to show to the IRS. You don't just want to be like, well, I looked it up and it said it was worth $450. That's
right.
That's not going to satisfy them. Now,
right.
The counter to that question is, do you like the property? If I had this property for sale at a good price and I wanted to sell it to you as a rental, would you be like, oh yeah, I like that?
Yeah, because it's got good tenants. It cash flows pretty well, even though it's a condo, even with the HOA, just because the loan is so small with the 2.4%.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, I guess. I'd be conflicted, but it's got really good tenants because it's got a good tenant because it's a nice area. It probably appreciates pretty well.
Yeah,
and like Dublin.
Well, and Dublin's super hot right now. Like I feel like Dublin's only headed upward from where it is right now. So you sounded like I don't know. I might rather have something different than this.
Yeah. I'd probably go for it. It's like a 3-2, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's a decent area.
When was it?
I guess I'm just always worried about HOA fees going up.
Well, they are going to go up.
Yeah.
So are taxes. So is insurance. So is maintenance costs. All that stuff's going to go up. Hopefully, rent will go up too. That's what we always hope for. You don't have to sell it to get the money to buy other stuff. You can get a second mortgage. You could refinance the whole thing and get a first mortgage, although you're not going to be able to borrow anything. You're not even going to be able to borrow 80% of what that thing's worth and have it still cash flow. But you can borrow.
Right.
You can probably borrow enough to go pay cash for another house if you wanted to. Or to put down payments on a few more houses. The question is, are you going to love still having this property, like when you're ready to retire, are you gonna be like, I am so glad I held on to that great property? You're gonna be like, I don't really like it that much.
That's a great question. I think actually I'm thinking long term. I think with the appreciation in that area and it's a solid neighborhood, I think I would.
Mm-hmm.
I think hanging on to it would probably be pretty good.
Yeah, I have a few properties that, like, if you look at it mathematically, I would be better off selling those and buying. I could buy for what I could sell those properties for, I could buy two more that in lesser areas that would cash flow more, would have a higher return on investment. But I will never sell those properties because they are in A areas. They are easy to manage. They are, I don't have any pride of ownership. Like, oh, I own properties in Westerville. You know, it's not like that. It's just more like they're easy properties. They're going to appreciate more than other properties. because they're in good areas. I get really good tenants who stay a really long time, and I just want to keep them. And you got to start out with one of those. And I think you might have a problem finding something like this that's affordable in the future. So if it were me, I'm just telling Danny, if it were me, I would hold on to it. I would use the equity, maybe get an equity line against it so that I could buy other properties. But still get that appraisal, because you don't want the IRS to say, oh, you got it for free, so every dime is... Or we can't prove what the basis was, so we're going to decide for ourselves.
Right. Okay.
So that's what I would do.
Good to know.
Okay. All right, Danny. I know you're going to come down to the National Summit. It's only 2 hours away from you. You're going to do that, right?
Ooh, I didn't even get the details, but I saw it in the email.
Oh, man.
Check it out.
Yeah, go to WMKVFM.org, scroll to the bottom of the page. There's more detail about it. And also, for about another 10 minutes, you can get it for $50 off and get a free Subject 2 course.
Ooh.
I know.
I can check that out. Sounds good.
I know. And the money goes to the public radio. Like, it's just win-win-win-win-win.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'll see you in Cincinnati in October. Unfortunately, we are just about out of time here, and that means we're going to, unfortunately, leave Steve from Kentucky on the line. But you can, Steve, you can send your question to vinoradio@gmail.com, and we'll try and pick it up sometime in the next few weeks. I also got an email from Richard, who said he was trying to pay online with his credit card, but it would not accept his entries. Richard, I would suggest that you go ahead and just call, because Dave is here and can answer the phone and could just take your credit card number, 877-772-9658. Thanks to all the listeners who called and wrote in such great questions today on Question and Answer Week. And to those of you who took advantage of the special deal on the 2025 National Real Estate Investing Summit, we'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.